I have to read to you from three different places in the Bible. And I want to read at length. Maybe I can inspire and generate excitement, enthusiasm in you that you'll read it all later. I'm just reading enough to introduce what I wish to preach from tonight. I'd like for you to find the 8th chapter of John. The 8th chapter of John. I would like for you to find the very first part of the book of Job. And I would like for you to find Genesis. That's easy. That's the first one. That's in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter number 4. Job, the first words of that book, I'll show you when we start to read. The very first words, I'm reading from Job first. How many of you have found all those places? Genesis, Job, and John. In the very first words of Job, you find that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was what? And he was what? And one that feared God, and eschewed evil. You find in that reading that he was a very blessed man. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So, and I'm in the third verse, I want you to notice this, so that this man was the what? Come on, say it strong. That's superlative. He was not just great, but he was the greatest of all of the men of the East. I did a little study on that one time, and it said the greatest men were in the East. And he was the greatest of the greatest. Praise God. And then the Word of God says that with all of this, in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence camest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. I want you to know, do you know what the devil really said? What he really said was, I've been doing this and that and the other, not really much enough. You talk like that up in this part of the country? I've been doing this and that and the other, and not really anything in particular. And the Lord said unto Satan, while you've been doing this and that and the other, and you liar, while you've been lying to me, have you considered my servant Job? That lying devil. Been doing this and that and the other and not really much of anything. He'd been watching old Job like a hawk. Have you considered my servant Job? And I want you to know that my flesh almost can't take what I'm fixing to read to you. I wish I knew God felt this way by me. In my flesh, I almost can't take what I'm fixing to read to you. God is the one that said this. That there is none like Him. None like Him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man. One that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord. Now he's ready to talk turkey. Have you ever seen anybody that before you can talk to them, you got to just back them up in the corner and put your fist in their face? Satan now responded like he had good sense. And he said, doth God, or doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? Let me tell you something. He knew about the hedge. He knew about the house. And he knew about all that he had on every side. Son, he'd been checking him out. What a turkey to say he's been going here and yonder, not really doing much. I've checked everything out. He's got all that he had on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. I know every time you've blessed him, God. And his substance, I've watched it increase. I've been watching it. Been watching. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. I'm not going to read any farther. Save just one occasion in the next chapter, chapter number 2. If you read all this, you'll find that the Lord God allowed destruction to come to everything that he had. And Job never cursed God. Never cursed him. So in the fifth verse of the next chapter, the enemy said, but put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and touch his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's all the time I've got for Job tonight. Wish I had more. I want you to look in the Gospel of John. I wish I could do a lot of reading here, but I'm not. I want you to read it sometimes when you get back into civilization. How many of you have enjoyed being away from the rest of the world? Man, I don't know nothing that's going on. I wonder how they're running this world without me, don't you? In St. John 8, verse number 44, I don't have time to tell you why this was said, the occasion, or anything else. You believe the Bible, don't you? Okay, just take it. For what it's worth. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. I want you to know that jars me every time I read that. This implies, and as far as I'm concerned, substantiates, that he was in the truth, but he abode not in the truth. And the reason that he didn't was because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And we'll leave that and go to the book Genesis. I need this in Genesis to complete what God wants me to preach tonight. Genesis 4, and Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. That's my text tonight. If you want to underscore or make a note of the text, here is my text. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Wish we would all say that together tonight. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And I wish you would pray tonight and ask God to direct us in the preaching of the word. Praise and honor your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Thank you, Lord. I want to name my subject tonight. And I'm calling it How to Gain and Retain God's Respect. How to Gain and Retain God's Respect. It's one thing to gain it. It's another thing to retain it. Hallelujah. I want you to be seated. In the name of the Lord we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How to gain and retain God's respect. The main reason that I read to you tonight out of the book of Genesis is because I want to nail it down initially tonight, right at the very start of this message. I want to nail down real tight in your mind that it is possible for God to have respect for you. That's possible. When I find unique things in the Bible that are unique to human beings, it really does affect me. We all talk about having respect for God, and we don't want to be around anybody that doesn't have respect for God. Am I right? But when you start thinking about God having respect for a human being, you've got my undivided attention. It really does something to my mind. And I'll never forget as long as I live the first time I saw it in the Bible. It does something to me when I read in the Bible that God was in the act of discharging His duties as God and was walking down the road to twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. On His way, discharging His duties as God Almighty. And all of a sudden, God stops in His tracks and says, "Now, wait a minute. I can't do this because I've got a friend. His name is Abraham." We all think about God being our friend. But when it's recorded in the Word of God that God stops dead in His tracks and refuses continuing to discharge certain duties because He's got a friend. Mortal flesh, just like me. And God walked back to Abraham. And He said, "Abraham, I was going down there to destroy those cities. And I remembered you're my friend. And you've got relatives down there. And I just couldn't do it without talking it over with you." It was an occasion where Abraham never called God to prayer. But God called Abraham to prayer. Abraham was not talking to God about the lost. But God was talking to Abraham about the lost. I have to tell you that I earnestly desire that kind of a relationship with God. I desire that kind of place. If God called Abraham His friend, then I'll never be satisfied until God can call me His friend. And the Bible declares that with God there is no respect of persons. If Abraham had that place, I can have that place. If he had respect unto Abel, I can reach that place. It does me just about the same way when I read those things that I pointed out to you in the book of Job. When God says to Satan, "While you're messing around, going here and yonder and doing this and that and the other, not really much of anything, there's no need, son, for you to even try to find another Job. Because there's not but one. While you're going up and down looking around, there's no need to look for another Job. He is the one and only." It does something to me when I read just affects me deep down in my soul. Oh, I want a relationship with God. Don't you? I want Him to be able to feel confidence in me. I have confidence in Him, but I want Him to have confidence in me. When he finally got Satan to get serious, I've looked at that hedge you've got around him, and friend, when he hedge, there's a way yonder more than meets the eye. He's been looking for a gap in that hedge. He's been looking for any way he could get to it. And you know what really disturbs me about that tonight? If he was looking at Job like that, he's looking at Treadway like that. He's looking at Brother Russell like that. He's looking at Brother Creel like that. He's checking you out. He's marching around you. He's taking inventory of you. He'd like to have you. You know what? I think I know where my children are tonight. But I really don't know. But he knows right where they are. He knows right where they are. And he's after my kids tonight. He intends to damn their souls. He's got it on his agenda to bring destruction to my family. He's got it on his agenda to bring destruction even to my marriage. He'd like to destroy everything I've got and everything I hold dear and everything that's precious to me. He said, I know every time you've blessed him, God. I've watched his goods increase. I've watched all of that. I've watched it. And then he came out with his old sly statement. And he said, there's a reason why Job loves you like he does. It's because you put that hedge around him. And it's because you blessed everything he's got. And if you would just make one little move against him, you know what the accusation really is? You get right down to the nitty-gritty of it. He said, Job doesn't really even love you, God. He loves what you give him. He loves his goods. He's in love with this present world. He likes his riches. He likes all of those blessings that you poured out on him. But if you touch those blessings, then you will see fire come into his eyes. And he will very brazenly curse you. I'll preach all of it you want to hear. If you want 10 minutes, I'll stop. If you want an hour, I'll give you an hour. But here's the message. In the book of John, there is an overall blanket statement made. He is a liar. And the father of it. Let's all say it together tonight. He is a liar. And the father of it. Woo! You know what the Living Bible said? Now, I'm not pushing Living Bibles tonight. In fact, I really don't like them. But I like what the Living Bible said right here. Do you know what it said? It said, when he lies, it is perfectly known. When he lies, that is just perfectly normal. Just like when the sun comes up. If he gaps his mouth, it's a lie. You ever seen anybody that climb a tree to tell a lie before they stand on the ground tell the truth? If he opens his mouth, it's a lie. You want me to tell you something? What you did while ago made something boil in me. It does something to my adrenaline. When this audience said, he is a liar. Let's do it again tonight. In fact, let's do it three times. Come on, let's do it. He is a liar. Do it again. He is a liar. He is a liar. I don't want to pop anybody's balloon, but I'm fixing to hit you one below the belt. It's cheap, very, very cheap, to call anybody a liar. You tonight, okay? I can call this man right here a liar till I get hoarse and till I perspire and till I fall out in a cold, dead faint. And I haven't proved one thing. Unfortunately, the same thing is true of the devil. You can call him a liar. I heard somebody say this in Texas, and I hope you don't think I'm desecrating the Word of God. But at least it'll get my point across. You can call the devil a liar till hell freezes over. And you've not done anything. As a pastor in a city like I pastor, in a church like I pastor, I have learned to shrug off a lot of things that people say about me. Lady one time wrote a horrible article in the paper about me. Put it in the editorial section. Awfulest thing you ever read in your life. Got our district superintendent. All of us called us liars, devils, and I don't know what else. It came out in the editorial part of the paper. I could tell you a lot about it. I don't have time to. But what I did, I walked in my wife's sewing room, and I began to read this to her, and she like passed out in hysteria. She said, "You are lying to me." I said, "No, this is in our paper." She got hysterical with laughter. She said, "There's no way that's in the paper." I said, "I'm reading it out of the Beaumont Enterprise." You know what I did? That woman never had seen me. She put all that in the paper because somebody had been feeding her a bunch of stuff. And what I did, I did a little bit of leg work, and I took my wife. She got such a kick out of it, I wanted her to be a part of all of it. So I did a little leg work and found out where the woman lived. And I had my wife with me. And we went to her house, Brother Creel. And I walked up on the porch. And I was looking as nice as I can make myself look. My shoes were shining and my tie was just right. And I was looking nice in my wife. We had her looking just as good as we could do. And I stepped up on that porch and I knocked on the door. And she walked to the door and invited us in. And when I walked in and sat down, I said, "Are you the one that wrote that horrible article in the paper about Brother Treadway?" She said, "I sure am." I said, "Why'd you do that?" She said, "Because it's the truth. And I'm doing mankind a service." And said, "I'm pleasing my pastor. My pastor told me all these things about it." And we went on and on and on and on there. And in a little bit I said, "Have you ever seen Brother Treadway?" She said, "Never in my life." She said, "I have no earthly idea what he even looks like. But," said, "I've heard some horrible things about him from my pastor." And said, "I was doing him a favor to put all this in the paper." And I said, "Are you sure that he's that bad of a feller?" She said, "He's got to be." No ifs and ands about it. He's just got to be that bad. And all of a sudden, my wife liked to die. All of a sudden, that woman sprung to her feet. She said, "Are you him?" I said, "You are looking at him in living color. I am Brother Treadwick." Big old tears filled her eyes. She said, "You know, you're not near as bad a guy as I heard you are." I said, "Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Really makes me feel good." I said, "Your pastor told me today he's going to kick you out. Just minutes ago told me he's going to kick you out of his church because you publicly embarrassed him in the paper." And I said, "What I've really come out here for is I realize you're fixing to be without a church home." And by that time, big old tears was in my eyes. And I said, "I want you to know I love you. I don't hold nothing against you. And when you get kicked out on your ear, I've got a seat for you. And I'll love you. And I'll pastor you. And I'll do everything I can to help get you to heaven. And I'll help get your kids saved. I want to show you that I'm not near as bad as somebody told you I was." Big old tears streamed down her face. She said, "I'm so ashamed and so regretful that I put all that in the paper about you." I said, "I'm just like the Bible said. I'm really not that good. There's none good. So I want you to know what you did. I got just what I deserve."
Come to
a church. And let the presence of God save us all. One reason that I told you that story is when you go through all I've been through and you deal with the devils that I've dealt with and you get into the situations that I've been into, you really get to where you don't pay too much attention to what people do say about you. But you know when somebody really gets my undivided attention? When they start taking some steps to prove that I'm a liar. You make me lay my paper down then and I'm on my feet. The liar is. Now, a while ago, when you shouted as an audience, "He is a liar," that sounds good. It builds emotion in me. It moved me. If I did what I wanted to do, we'd stop right now and say it 12 more times. But when you call the devil a liar, you've not really done one thing. If you really want to gain God's respect, He called him the liar, and we've got to prove him one. The devil said we can't have revival. There's no way you can have revival. But God said he's a liar. And I'm going to prove him out to be a liar. We're going to have revival anyway. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You touch what Job's got, and he will curse you to your face. And I would like to think tonight, and I'm like Merle Ewan, and if I'm dreaming, well, please don't wake me up. Hallelujah. I would like to think, Brother Hall preached us today, that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. Is that right? I'd like to think that somewhere, and I'll inject this right now too. Did you know that Job is a marvel to the world? Job's the oldest book in the Bible. And it's absolutely amazing the insight and the knowledge that that man had. He reveals some things in his book that no other writer in the Bible reveals. I would like to think that somewhere that man knew that God's appraisal and assessment of the devil was that he's a liar. And when Job found out that the devil said he will curse you to your face, it built up a resistance in that old boy. And he said, man, my stuff doesn't even count. My home, my house, my truck, my future, nothing counts right now. The only thing that counts is I love my God, and I know He's pure, and I know He's clean. And he's called the devil a liar. And it's my responsibility. I'm the man caught in the middle. I've got to prove that he's a liar. If it's the last thing I do, I've got to prove that that devil is a liar. Hallelujah.
what I'm telling you tonight is if I didn't have another reason in the world, and this little part right here, I guess I'm preaching hypothetically. To be so bent and determined and dogmatic about having revival. If I didn't have any other reason, I'd have to have one because the devil said I can't. I'd want to have one just to prove him out to be a liar. Thank the Lord. God called him one. But he put it in our hands. That you're going to prove it? All heaven stands in reserve. The banks of heaven, the storehouses of glory world, all the power that God has stands ready to support you in proving the devil to be a liar. The devil's heard what's been said around here tonight. What I'm going to preach, knowing exactly what God's put in my heart. Your district superintendent, one of the finest men I know of on this earth. I love that Brother Russell. Don't you ever forget I do. Let me tell you something. The enemy has gone around this district. He circled it, friend. He knows your hedges. He knows what's going on. He knows who's been added. He knows where we are. He knows all about it. And he knows there's an economy situation. But I serve notice on him tonight. God has called him a liar, and we're going to prove him out to be a liar. We'll be victorious. We'll pay our debts. We'll have revival. We'll shake the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Rocky Mountain District is in for revival. You're in for victory. You're in for a move of God. That will shake your communities. Hallelujah. 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 This next month in July will be 6 years ago. I had that horrible accident. I didn't have to lose my health to thank God for it. I thank God for my health every day of my life. Done everything in my power to stay in good health. Keep myself fit to work for God. This next month, down on Highway 87, and when
I realized he was in there. I saw him with his back to me, and he was facing my wife. And he was asking her, said, "Why haven't you built it?" And she said, "I can't." And I woke up. It caught my attention. And he said, "I issued an order for you to." She said, "But you just don't understand. I can't do it." And I came up on my elbow. I said, "Build what?" That doctor turned around and looked at me like he didn't know what was going on. He walked over and touched me. He said, "Your wife and I were talking about that ramp we got to build in front of your house for your wheelchair." That you won't put up with it. And I said, "That woman is very intelligent. She knows what I'll put up with and what I want."
That doctor tried to get mean. He looked me in the face. He said, "You got to face reality. My friend, you'll be in a wheelchair, and I've issued the order to build it. You're going home." And I said, "I'm issuing an order, don't build." And I'll never forget it. He said, "What I'd like to know is how in the world do you think you're going to walk in that house?" I said, "I'll be glad to tell you. I'm going to walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Hallelujah. The devil is a liar, and I'll spend the rest of my life proving him to be a liar. And I tell you what, neighbor, from the time God healed me, I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but from the time God healed me, every time I go to church, I like to jump just a little bit because he said I'd never jump again. And I like to jump just to make him out to be a liar. I like to walk just because he said I can't walk. I like to make the devil out to be a liar. I ever lost any reason at all to walk. I got to keep walking because he said I can't walk. Back at the Mayo Clinic, not many months ago, 3 months ago this year, back at the Mayo Clinic, that world famous orthopedic department of the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, and that doctor told me again, he said, "You are a walking miracle. We don't have nobody else to compare you with. The medical fact is that you can't walk. And you just walk anyway." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just walk anyway. You just walk anyway. I want to serve notice tonight. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And I want to prove him to be a liar. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I was in a motel room not long ago. I don't know how to really stay where I want to stay. I was in a motel room. I was by myself preaching a youth camp. And while I was in that motel room, the devil came to me. He invaded my privacy. He came into that room and he said, "I need to tell you something."
He said, I want you to know.
And I want to be fair with you, let you know in advance. And I want you to know the United Pentecostal Church is going down. And he said, there's young people that don't know how to have revival. There's young people that don't know how to dress holy. There's young people that don't know how to pray. There's young people that don't know how to worship. And you know what? When he told me that, it bubbles up something in me like was in Job. I said, you a liar, and I'll prove you to be a liar. And right here tonight, that young man that led the singing the first night I was here, the young man that sung at the piano, I'm a fanatic. I want you to know, I see young people around here that love God. They know how to worship. They know how to work in the altar. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. There's young people that love God. They love holiness. They love truth. And we'll have a revival in this generation. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! If I didn't have any other reason to live holy, I got to live holy because he said I can't live holy. God said he's a liar, and I'm going to prove him out to be a liar. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. If I was you, and I was in this audience tonight, and I was a sinner, or if I was a backslider, the enemy is bouncing it off of the doors of glory tonight. You will go to hell. You will go to hell. I'll take this preacher's daughter to hell. I'll take this preacher's son to hell. I'll be a rebellion in this preacher's son. I'll take the Sunday school superintendent's daughter. I'll destroy him in hell. If I didn't have any other reason to repent tonight and to get right with God, I'd do it because he said I couldn't live for God. And because I'd go to hell, I'd make him out to be a liar. I'd make the devil out to be a liar. I'd have victory. He touched on the love of us, on the love of us. Hallelujah. 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 The enemy. Did you hear what I read to you tonight? He abode not in the truth. He was on good terms with God. The enemy knows what glory world. Do you know why he wants you to go to hell? Because he can't go to heaven. If there was a place for repentance for him tonight, he'd be the first one in the altar. Because he knows what heaven is. He knows what that celestial city is. He was booted out because he abode not in the truth. There is no place for repentance in Him. No place. And the reason that He doesn't want you to repent is because He can't repent. And He doesn't want you to have something that He can't have. He's going up and down these aisles tonight saying, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. Little lady, you can't repent. Young man, you can't be saved. You can't live this holy life. You can't live a sanctified, clean, unadulterated life that pleases God. But I want you to know that God said He's a liar. And I'm going to prove Him out to be one. I'm going to live it. I'm going to shout it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to have it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name tonight, if I was you, I'd get up right now. Musicians can come or they cannot come. But if I was you and I was a backslider or I was a sinner, I would stand up right now and I'd say, devil, you are a liar. And I'm fixing to prove it out right now, because I'm fixing to come repent. I'm fixing to come repent. I'm fixing to get the Holy Ghost. I'm fixing to start out toward heaven. And while you burn through the ages, I'm going to shout on the hills of glory.
Worship God and pull the power down